Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
You've got your Bible, 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. Starting with verse 8. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. He called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God, notice it's not hers, it's his, your God, liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel, little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elisha said, Fear not, go, do as thou said, and make me thereof a little cake first. Bring it unto me after, make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but I feel a very timely word for this assembly here this morning. I want to preach to you, unexpected visitation. Unexpected visitation. Let's lift our hands just one more time and just love him this morning. Don't ask him for anything, just love him. God, I love you today. I lift my hands as an expression of that love here today. I thank you for your presence that we feel. God, fill this place with your presence and your love. We ask you in Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You may be seated. We focus much of this text, and rightfully so, the man of God, Elijah, and I've preached it many ways from his perspective or the eyes of Elijah. But more common than not is the reality of where this little woman was. I don't take away, don't misread anything I'm saying. I'm not taking away or minimizing from the fivefold ministry in the office of the prophet Elijah. He was a great man of God and saw things in the spirit that most people didn't. But yet, in all practical living just for God, I can identify more with that little woman. Elijah's seeing things in the spirit and in the clouds, but you got a little lady in Zarephath that's picking up sticks at the gate and saying, this is going to be it for me. I've reached the end of where I can even see that God would work for me. And I'm making preparations for what I feel is going to be the next step. Me and my son are going to have a meal together. And we're going to share hearts and our memories. And I can imagine what's running through this little mama's mind. It's just her and the boy, the Bible says. But see, here's a component she did not calculate in this visitation. That when the command of God finds the obedience of humanity, the overflowing abundance of heaven shows up. See, because God said, I've commanded a woman that don't even know she's under my command. There's things in me in your life that you may look at and say, God is a million miles from this situation or this person or on that person.
When really you and I need to understand God could be commanding things that you can't even see. And when His commandment meets an obedient heart, you are positioned for an abundance of heaven's realities, supernatural abnormalities, and things you've never seen before. But see, here's the component: that little woman. The command in God wasn't slack or short, or God's word's not diluted or void of its power. I still believe here today that by His stripes we're healed. If you're sick in your body today, call for the elders. We'll pray the prayer of faith, and you can leave with a miracle today in your body. God's word is not slack concerning what He promised. Has it changed? But the component and the fluctuating variable is me and you. Can He find somebody that would be obedient to Him when even they don't understand what God's doing and where God's working? Can He find somebody that will obey something that He's asking them to do, that He could position them in a place of the supernatural that they've never experienced things about God? See, we live in the South, and everything in the South is Christianity. I mean, you can't go very far without somebody saying, "I'm a Christian," or "I believe in Jesus." But yet, are they experiencing a visitation by God that would forever transform their life? See, I didn't start this journey or this road just to kind of hang out with Him and that's it. But there's greater things that God's got for me and you as we walk down the road with Christ. There's something greater that God's got. That's why somebody here today, I know it's Sunday morning, but there's a miracle that God's got for somebody in this building. You came here just kind of expecting a service, and God's ready to give you a miracle of unexpected visitation. Something that was not expected. Isn't it the greatest part is when you don't expect it? I love surprises. But then in the second part, I don't. I was the one ripping the package under the tree, figuring out what I got before I ever even got it. But then there's another part of me that I like that unexpected. When just you wake up and on a day that you expected this to happen, but then all of a sudden God has a whole new thing for you that day that I never expected. I walk into a hospital room and pray for somebody. I didn't expect it, but God raises them up from the hospital bed. I go maybe on my job and it didn't look very good today, but by the end of the day, my sales were out of the ballpark. I didn't expect phone calls coming in. See, there's something God has for somebody in this building. You're not expecting it, but He's knocking on the door and He said, "I'm ready to give you a visitation of me that you've never seen before." It's in a lady. Notice when Elijah shows up, she's at the gate. The gate was a place where the judges met and decisions was made. It was a place of decision. And she had one foot out and one foot in. She had one foot on the other side of the gate saying, "Maybe if I bolt right now, no one would ever know that I'm gone. Maybe if I just kind of slip off into obscurity, no one really would even know that I'm gone. No one would really even miss other than my son." Because you see, there's a famine in the land. There's no water. They're in drought. The city's in upheaval. The nation's in upheaval. The people are in chaos. Panic and anxiety is everywhere around. Sounds a little bit like today. I'll never forget, I was somewhere in Texas, one of them unexpected revivals, Brother Neely, preaching in a church. There was about four saints in the congregation, and we had a worship, I don't know what y'all call them, choir singing, but it was about six people. What y'all call that, a quintet? I don't know. What do you name that? But there was about six of them up there, seven maybe, I don't know. And all of them up there, Brother Neely, were mentally handicapped young people. Did a great job, beautiful, their hearts so pure in worship. See, unexpected visitations. Now you look at that and thank God I didn't. I came into it expecting God to do something. And in that crowd, out of those four people, was a man sitting about right there. Never had the Holy Ghost before, never been baptized in Jesus' name, came from another denomination, didn't believe in any of that, for sure didn't believe in baptism in Jesus' name. And for some reason that day, unexpectedly, I started preaching on baptism and saying how a man had to be baptized in Jesus' name, and that's where the covenant's at, is when you go down in the name. There's no covenant in Father, Son, or Holy Ghost. That's just titles. But when you go down in the name, there's a covenant and a power that takes over when you're baptized in the name of Jesus. And as I began to teach and talk about that, that man there got angrier by the second. And I'm unbeknowing here, I got a little bit more into baptism and got to digging a little bit more and breaking it down more. And he got angrier. He's telling this after the fact. He said, and I went to get up, and he said something, put its hand on my shoulder and pushed me down into that pew. And I looked over my shoulder and said, what in the name of God? Who is pushing me and telling me to sit down? And the voice spoke to him and said, sit down and listen. And I didn't know all of this, but I only got four people. You learn not to look at the four, but look at the ceiling while you're preaching. Because I don't want to think I'm talking to you, but yeah, I'm preaching to you. You're the only people in the house. Hey, it don't take rocket science. And I got in the baptism a little bit more and a little bit more and got a little bit more forceful in the presentation. I could feel the Holy Ghost really reaching for somebody. And that man getting angrier by the second again. And finally he goes to get up again. And that hand just dropped on his shoulder and shoved him down in that. He said, and I could not get up. I kept trying to get up and something had me pinned down. Oh, y'all don't want to hear this. We want to just kind of go to church and kind of clap our hands. Let's just have a good tradition. Let's just go through the motions and have good church. See, what you need to understand, there's an unexpected visitation by God in this building here today. He's trying to show somebody your God's bigger than your problem. It's bigger than your Christ. If somebody will just surrender, like the shepherd said, and say, God, I'll be obedient to your will in whatever you want to do. You've got a miracle that God's about to give you today that you've never seen before. That man, as soon as the amens were done, he got up and stormed out of that building. The pastor then calls me. I'm telling you this third party from the pastor and the man. The pastor calls me about a couple days later. Brother Benoit, you're in trouble. I said, hey, take a number, Jack. I've been in more times than one. I said, I'm sorry, elder. He said, well, you made somebody mad. I said, I'm sorry. I preached the word, elder. He said, this man calls me angry and telling me the story, how mad he left the service of you and you preaching about baptism and how the word of God was being revealed to him that he had not been baptized like he should have been baptized. And we were baptized in traditional formulas, and he was angry, Brother Benoit. He said, but this is what he said. I got home. He said, and I was angry. I was going to find every scripture I could, and I was coming back to that church to prove that preacher wrong. I was going to show him in scripture how it was wrong what he was preaching. He said, but every time I found a scripture that I thought was mine, it's like a light bulb went off and I saw he was right. And I went to another one and saw he was right. And I went to, he said, finally I called my daughter in and said, baby, we've been baptized contrary to what I found in scripture. We got to be back. He said, preacher, I need you to get to the church now. My wife, my daughter, and me, the three that was in there out of the four that didn't have the Holy Ghost and wasn't baptized. He said, we got to be baptized in Jesus' name. I'm telling somebody here today, God's saying there's a command. If he can find anybody obedient, you're going to find life more abundantly. You're going to find an experience in Christ that you've never found before. It's not me. It's his word. And this little lady could have, I know she's at the gate, a place of indecision. What do I do? Where do I go? How do I figure this out? I'm exhausted on trying to find the answers. I almost titled this Silent Surrenders, because so many times We surrender to the reality instead of surrendering to God with an affirmation. We silently surrender that this is the way life will always be. We silently surrender and say, this is the way life's going to be. This is my lot in life. This is my circumstance. Let me tell somebody here today, it doesn't matter if you were the greatest drug dealer in De Quincey. God can restore you. God can put you in a place of employment. God can give you a family. If the enemy tells you too far is gone, I'm here to tell somebody, there's nothing you've done that God can't redeem, that God can't wash away in his blood, and that God can't restore. She's making a decision. What do I do at the gate? And notice, she finds her answer at the gate. When you're in the most critical hour and you don't know what to do, and you're looking to make a decision, God will always make sure you get the right answer at the right time. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. You're in a perfect place. This woman was literally out of position, but in the right position. She was out of position in her faith, but she was in the right position that day that the man of God would come at the place that God had already commanded. I got a little lady down the road in Zarephath that's going to take care of you and sustain you. If you could lift your eyes here on this Sunday morning and just see God's already got everything figured out. God's already got your tomorrows figured out. He's already got your marriage figured out. He's already got your sons and daughters that are backslidden. He's already got them all figured out of the right time and the right place of him bringing it in. God didn't give you a balcony in this assembly for it to be sparsely filled. God's ready to fill this building to capacity, and he's asking somebody, can you believe me by faith on a Sunday morning? Oh, I got a roast cooking. I got other things going. No, this is a little different on Sunday morning. God's saying, I'm ready to give you an unexpected visitation. Can you lift your faith? And see here on this Sunday morning, I don't want just normal church. I came from normal church. And it couldn't fix a headache. But when I got in an apostolic Jesus name church, something began to happen that didn't happen for me in another. I found some. See, I was at a place of decision. Do I let the things of the world go, or do I walk into what God's asking me to do? Do I let the things of tradition go and walk into this thing that God's asking me? See, God's got a relationship for you and I. He's got a place he wants to bring you and I, that we see him like we've never seen him before. I don't believe it's now lay me down to sleep, I pray my soul to keep. I believe God's ready to give you a new prayer, a prayer that you begin to pray that the heavens come down where you are and it hears your heart. It hears your cry. It hears your... See, that's an unexpected visitation. If you can lift your eyes enough to see that God's here now in this moment. She had her head down, picking up sticks at a gate of indecision. But see, here's what God was banking on. Wherever his commandment is and the obedience of man is, I'm about to move her into unlimited provision. I'm about to move her into a place where she thought God was a million miles away. He's about to come where she is and move in her situation if she could just see it for a moment. And that lady, when the prophet shows up, she's picking up the sticks, and he says, go get me some water. Y'all hang with me. I'm almost done. Musicians, prime your fingertips. We're almost done. Y'all get ready. Go get me some water. Brother Nealon, the audacity of you to ask me to come to prayer on an off night other than Wednesday and Sunday. The audacity. Don't you know I'm going through a divorce right now? Y'all, I just hit a stump. Y'all better watch out. I'm going to fish. I feel a couple crappie hitting right about there. The audacity of the man of God. Come on, preacher. You got it all together. Don't you know my world is crashing? I'm about to die. I have no food. We have no water. And you ask me for what I don't have an abundance of. Let's put it in our language. I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have the energy. I don't have my past, Brother Nealon. See, you don't have a past like me, Brother Nealon. I was this and that, and I've messed up, and I know people that have shot people and killed them. I know a man right now. I know this is videoed, so I got to be careful with names. I know a man right now, ex-gang member, shot and killed people, AK-47s. He was the one that went into the house, took the person out. He was a hitman. Took him, wrapped him up in Visqueen, and finished him off. And that man came. God filled him in the Holy, filled him with the Holy Ghost, baptized him in Jesus' name. He's living for God on fire. And you know what? Who God connected him with? The head man. I'm just going to say of the mafia. I ain't going to tell you the where. Because I don't want to get no video. He come knocking at my door. He been all over the news. He come to me saying, Brother Benoit, I got to tell you what God set up. He said, but why could God use somebody like me? He said, what I've done. He kind of like Paul. That's what Paul's battle was when Paul was by that fire. Remember after Paul's conversion, the end of Acts, and he's sitting by the fire and the viper came out. And what did all the barbarians on the island say? He's a murderer. Paul's past came up before him. And right before you're about to move into what God has, your past comes up in front of you. You can't go into that. This church can't move into what God has. We know your past. We know this church's past. We know individuals' past. You're a murderer. And here's this little lady. He said, go get me the water. I don't know, maybe y'all are all spiritual. I'm not. I struggle. I'm human. I'm in flesh. And Brother Nealon, I tell you what, if that preacher would ask me, my first thought would have been, wait, you got what you, why are you going to take from me? I don't even have a husband that can provide. You understand? Do you see the folks in our world, this would be insanity. But God asks you for things that you don't feel you've got an abundance of. Energy, time, mental capacity, education, spirituality. We'll never be spiritual enough. But if we keep walking with him and talking with him and loving on him and say, God, I don't know the end, but I know you'll reveal to me what I need to do. God, I know I got a purpose. I know I got a calling. I don't really know what it is, but if you'll lead me, I'll keep going with you. And she didn't argue, which is commendable of her faithlessness. She turns and she walks away and watch. Now this is where you just kind of can drop your jaw. He goes, oh, and by the way, I don't want just water. I want you to make me some bread. It's bad enough you're going to take my water, but now you're going to take my food. Who do you think you are? And this time, her faithlessness was revealed because she said, don't you know we're in a drought? And as the Lord thy God, and here's where we are as individuals, it's Brother Nealon's God when God's wanting to make him your God. Well, if I get Brother Nealon to preach, Brother Nealon, let me tell y'all something. He is as articulate a preacher as I ever heard. When you talk about just Holy Ghost smooth, he's Holy Ghost smooth. So well articulate. Well, now that's for Brother Nealon. But what about me? God's saying, I'm his God, but I'm trying to be your God. if I can find someone that's willing to obey, come out of the gate, do what God's asking you to do. Quit living on the fringes of, well, I'm kind of in and I'm kind of out. Buy in with everything you got, heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Don't let it just be a Sunday morning and a church you visit on Sunday morning, but come back on Sunday night. Come back on Wednesday. Come back on Monday. Fill this place with a hope. Stand with me. And the old prophet said, if you'll go, if you'll just go, watch. He said, if you'll just do what I'm saying, the meal barrel will never run out. And the water will never run out. Now watch. He never guaranteed or gave her proof that what he was saying was true. I'm going to help somebody right here. You preach that Jesus' name baptism is the difference. You preach that the Holy Ghost is the difference. You preach that being a part of the body of Christ is the difference. Yes, I do. All I can tell you is the testimony. But until you experience it in obedience and submission to his will, will you see there was a guarantee all along? He said, for my word will go forth and shall return back to me not void. You know what that scripture means? That when the word of God goes forth in a service like today, it's going to come and it's going to go to you. And if you're in the place of obedience and position and at a place that you're ready to receive what God wants, that word's going to go into you. You're going to obey and receive, and it's going to go back to where God is. But for some, he'll go today and you're not ready. You're not ready. Does it mean you're bad? Does it mean you're a devil? Does it mean anything? Thank God you're here. You're just not in the position that you're ready to surrender and submit all. But God's merciful and he keeps reaching. He keeps you coming. He keeps life in you because you should have been dead, but he let you live. That's God's mercy. She had no guarantee, but she responded. And the Bible closes and says, for the barrel never wasted and the water never went out. I don't know about you and De Quincy. I know where I am. Wherever I go, whatever revival I preach, God, let the water come where we are and let it never stop. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. We need the rivers of living water to flow through this congregation today. And anybody that's ready to live in abundance with an unexpected visitation, I want you to lift your hands all across this building. Close your eyes as they begin to lead us in song. And I want you to make this individual right now, before I open these altars, I want you to open your heart and talk to him. He's trying to reveal to you he's your God, but you've got to make him Lord. You've got to let him be the controlling interest in your life. He's got to be the one that makes the decisions, and you've got to get off of the throne of self and put him on the throne. Come on, lift your voices right now. Now, I open these altars to this whole congregation. Not specifically, but if you just want to live in abundance and you want to show God, God, I want to live in abundance and obedience to you, I want you to come. It should be this whole congregation. It should be any in the balcony. We invite you to the altar that God could show you he's for you and he's working in you and he's working in your life, even though you can't see.
Pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC De Quincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in De Quincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.